Well, no, it's my fault. Good evening. Welcome to Crossroad. I'm Bob Rao. I'm the senior pastor here. And, you know, this is a great time, New Year's Eve, a great time to welcome the new year, worshiping the Lord, celebrating Him as a body of believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is a privilege for all of us. You know, one of the things about New Year's is New Year's resolutions. Have you guys ever made a New Year's resolution? I know I have. I don't know. Have any of you made a New Year's resolution for 2012? Anybody? Now, most New Year's resolutions are good things, right? I mean, they're not bad things. They're not like, hope to rob a bank in 2012 or something like that. You know, I'm going to work out less. I'm going to gain weight. Most of them are positive things, right? Constructive things. Here are the top 10. I feel like David Letterman, top 10. Here's the top 10 New Year's resolutions that I saw online. Number one, spend more time with friends and family. That's a good one, right? Even if your friends and family drive you crazy, sometimes they do, right? But we should spend more time with them, quality time. Number two, exercise. Number three, lose weight. Number four, quit smoking. Those are all like, you know, get healthier. Number five, enjoy life more. Number six, quit alcohol. Number seven, get out of debt, so financial. Number eight, learn something new, like learn to play guitar or something like that. Skydive, ski. Number nine, help others. That's a good one. Help other people. Number 10, get organized. So New Year's resolutions, those are the top 10. I want to suggest a New Year's resolution for you. For 2012. And this is my suggestion. Peace. Have peace in 2012. Peace in 2012. What do I mean by that? Well, first let me define peace. When we think of the word peace, a lot of times we like to define peace as the absence of conflict, right? So like if Israel and Palestine aren't fighting, there's peace there. We like to think of that as peace. But peace is more than that, right? Peace is more than just the absence of conflict. It's also the presence of something positive, the presence of tranquility, the presence of harmony. So peace is more than just the absence of conflict. And there's three types of peace that I see in Scripture and I want to cover today. It's going to take me about 2 hours. So I'm just kidding. I'm going to try to be brief. I think I'll be able to cover in about 15 or 20 minutes, but I want to briefly cover three types of peace from Scripture. The first type of peace is peace with God. Okay? Peace with God. And that's the most important peace we can have in our life. Peace with God. The second type of peace is peace in our hearts, peace with ourselves. Peace with God can lays the foundation for peace in our hearts. That's the second most important type of peace. And then the third type of peace is peace with others. When we have peace with God and we have peace in our hearts, we're now laid the foundation of peace with others, the third type of peace. So peace in 2012, peace with God, peace with self, peace with others. First thing I want to talk about is peace with God. Let me read a verse, and this is a great memory verse, if you like to memorize Scripture. When I was in college about 30 years ago, I did the Navigators memory system. And this was one of the verses in the Navigators memory, Romans 5, 1. And I'm also going to go to the first part of verse 2, Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have, here's that word, peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, in which we now stand. Peace with God. Another passage that talks about this more in depth that I'm not going to read, but if you write this down and read this when you go home, is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. Now, how do we have peace with God? What does that mean? Well, Jesus came to this earth. He was God the Son. He came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, and died on a cross for the sins of the world. And he rose from the dead. And since that time, any person who simply trusts and believes that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead is forgiven of their sins and has a relationship with God. They have peace with God. You see, faith in Christ takes us from a state of sin, a state of rebellion with God, to a state of forgiveness and relationship with God, to peace with God. So faith in Christ gives us peace with God. This is the greatest peace that a human being can have, the most important peace that a human being can have, peace with God, our Maker, our Creator. Secondly, now peace with ourselves, peace within ourselves. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Again, this is another great memory verse, part of that navigator system. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here comes that word, and the peace of God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Once we know God, once we have peace with God through faith in Christ, we now have the opportunity to have His peace in our lives, ruling our hearts and our minds. I have lived in Coppell since 1993, and I like to work out at the YMCA there, so try to go, you know, three times a week at least and try to hit something, you know, the treadmill or the bicycle or the elliptical, something to burn some, you know, calories and get my heart rate up. And I often run into friends there at the Y that I've known over, you know, here and there, sometimes just acquaintances. A couple weeks ago, I had a very interesting, incredible meeting with somebody there. He was finished working out, and I was walking up the steps to work out. And his name's David. I said, "Hey, David." He said, "Hey, Bob." He said, "Hey, hold on, I need to talk to you for a second." I said, "Sure." He said, "I want you to pray for me." And this is a guy I really didn't know very well. And I said, "You bet. What's going on?" And he told me something very remarkable. David's son has cancer. And he asked me to pray for David and his whole family, and especially his son. I was like, "Yeah, you bet. I will definitely pray." And, you know, I tried to share a few words of empathy and, you know, because as a parent, I can't imagine anything tougher than to have a child with cancer. But then he said something even more that struck me. He said, "You know, Bob, we're just starting this process. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if my son's going to live or not. But we're trusting God and we have peace." And that just blew me away. You know, to have peace in the midst of that, to have a child with cancer and to have peace, isn't that peace that surpasses all understanding and comprehension? Isn't that the peace of Christ? Now, I don't know if I could ever have that peace in that situation. I just don't know. But I was blown away. Now, it's easy to have peace and joy if you beat cancer. I mean, you know, you've beaten it, you've treated it, and you're cancer-free. Then there's a lot of victory and joy and peace then. But in the middle of the battle, to say, "I have peace," that to me can only come from the Lord. You know, I've looked at this verse before. And as I've gone through difficulties in my own life, I looked at this verse and thought it was kind of like a little magic formula. "Oh God, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with getting into med school. So please help me get into med school. Okay, I'm ready for your peace, Lord. Or Lord, my child's very sick. please heal my child. Okay, I'm ready for your peace, Lord. And I wouldn't experience the peace of God. You know, and I said, well, Lord, you know, I prayed the prayer, and I asked you what I wanted, and maybe even thanked you for something or the other. Now, I'm ready for some peace because I'm racked with anxiety. I'm racked with worry. I need your peace. And my second son is here. My first son was born 7 weeks early, and it was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever been through as a parent, to see my child ill. And you can see he's fine now, praise God, Matthew. But then when Stacy was pregnant with Jacob, and by the way, Stacy's home with Grace. She's got a fever, and so they're home right now. We went through kind of the same thing. She started having contractions and this, that, and the other. And it was very early in the pregnancy, and I was just racked with anxiety. Like, Lord, I don't want another very premature baby again. What do I do? Something I need to do as far as sound? Okay. What do I need to do? So I was, Lord, please, you know, help my baby be healthy. Help him be healthy. But I was still struggling with anxiety. I was still struggling with worry. And I realized something. You know, this is not just a magic formula. I needed to go through the process of entrusting my situation, my issue, and actually giving it over to God. I had to let go of it and entrust it with God. And prayer was the mechanism. Prayer was the mechanism for me to take those things that were concerning me, those things that were tearing me up with anxiety and worry, and giving it over and laying it at His feet. And when I did that, when I said, Lord, it's yours. Your will be done. Whatever your will is, I had peace. That's hard to do, because when you say that, when you say, Lord, your will be done, not mine, then you want what God wants. It may not be what you want. It may not be what I want. But we have to trust that God loves us. We have to trust that God's going to work for our good and for His glory. And we're going to have trust that He's going to meet our needs. And prayer is the mechanism to do that. When you can pray about something and give it over to Him and say, Lord, your will, not mine, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and know that He's going to work for the best. He loves us. He's going to meet our needs. And we can trust Him and in His goodness and in His love. No matter what happens, then you can have the peace of Christ. And it'll guard your hearts and your mind. And sometimes what happens is I entrust it and then I take it back. Have you ever done that? You know, you trust it with the Lord and you have peace, but then, you know, you kind of slowly, that worry starts building back up, and you have to go through this process over and over again, saying, Lord, it is yours. Your will be done. My life is yours. Your will be done. Everything I have is yours, Lord. Your will be done in my life, and every aspect of my life, and also in this. And by the way, Lord, thank you for Jesus, because His presence gives me joy. And the hope of salvation gives me joy in the midst of difficulty. So when David said, you know, I don't know if my son's going to be here a year from now or not. I don't know. But I trust the Lord, and therefore I have peace. That is the peace that surpasses all understanding. That is the peace of God. And we can have that peace if we are willing to trust Him. So, the first peace, peace with God. The second peace, peace with ourselves. And the third peace, peace with others. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. As people who have peace with God, as people that have the peace of Christ in our hearts, We are now can be people that can live at peace with others, especially our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, relationships, I think, are really hard. And sometimes it's hard to be in relationships. It's hard to be close to people. It's hard to be with people sometimes. Because we're all people, right? We're sinners saved by grace. I am, you are. But we're called to have peace with one another. We're called to have unity. We're called to be in a relationship with one another, to serve one another, to build one another, to care for one another. That is the body of Christ. And we're called to have peace with one another. We're called to forgive one another. We're called to have restoration of conflict, resolution of conflict. We're called to deal with our issues with one another. And that's sometimes a long, hard process and not easy. But it is possible in Christ to truly have peace with one another. So three kinds of peace. Peace with God through faith in Christ. Peace in our hearts through trusting Him. Peace with others. So, my takeaway, my New Year's resolution for myself and the one I'd like to suggest to you is to have peace in your life. Peace with God is my first resolution for you. Now, I'd like to challenge you to make one of these or two of these or all three of these your resolution. Peace with God, peace with in your heart, or peace with another person. Now, peace with God. Maybe this is the first time you've ever walked into a church and heard anything from the Bible. Or maybe you've grown up in a Christian family and you've gone to church all your life. But if you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, truly placed your faith in Him, then you don't have peace with God. I want to challenge you, no matter where you are on that spectrum, if you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior, if you haven't placed your faith in Him, and I'm talking now of not just an intellectual assertion of fact. Okay, I intellectually assert a lot of things. I intellectually assert that 2 plus 2 equals 4, that there's three laws of thermodynamics, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't trust in them for the salvation of my soul, for the forgiveness of my sins. So I'm speaking now of a trust from the heart that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead, that He paid for your sins, your debt on the cross, and that you are willing and desire to entrust your debt of sin on the blood of Jesus and letting Him pay that debt so that you can have peace with God. If you haven't done that, I would challenge you this year, tonight, to make peace with God by placing your faith in Jesus as your Savior. That faith can be expressed in a very simple prayer that says, Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sins. Please make me your child. Come into my life. Give me your eternal life. So I challenge you, if you do not have peace with God, make 2012 the year, make today the day that you make peace with God. Peace with yourself. I think that certain people, and maybe all of us to some extent, struggle with anxiety, struggle with worry. Maybe it's over your finances. Maybe it's over your job or your studies. Maybe it's over somebody in your family, your parents or a sibling or your children. See, for me, I'm a big worrier for my kids. I'm just a worrywart when it comes to my kids. I always worry about my kids, especially when they're home. I don't know what it is. Like, when they're in college, I don't worry about them. When they're home, I worry about them. And so, like, I stay up, like, until they come home. They're like, well, Dad, we're in college. We can do whatever we want. Like, I know, but you're home now. And I worry, you know. So, I'm a worrywart when it comes to my kids. Are they safe, you know? Is everything okay? And I don't know what your thing is. What do you worry about? What fills you with anxiety? What makes you just, you know, I can't rest, I can't sit, I can't even think straight because I'm so racked with anxiety. I don't know what it is, but we have different things. Whatever that area is, if you have peace with God, I want you to make 2012 the year you turn that area over to Him. Now, I don't think it can. Sometimes for some people it's a miraculous thing. You know, they pray and they have God's peace and they never worry about it again. But I'm not that kind of person typically. Typically, like I said, I kind of go back and forth with God over things. You know, I'm like Jacob a little bit. I wrestle with God sometimes. Whatever that area is, if there's an area like that that comes to your mind right now, that you need to turn over to God and say, God, your will, not mine. God, this is yours. I entrust it with you. I lay this at your feet. And I'm going to trust by the power of the Holy Spirit that you're going to meet my needs, that you love me, that you are good, that you're going to work out things for good. And whatever the outcome might be, I'm going to trust you. So I'd like you to make 2012 the year, if this is something you struggle with, the year that you take one area in your life that you really struggle over with guilt, well, not guilt, anxiety and worry, and turn that over. Maybe guilt too, I don't know. Turn that over to Him. Third, peace with others. You know, I was thinking about all the relationships in my life. You know, I'm a child. I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a father. And each one of those relationships has a level of difficulty, a level of complication, a level of some issue, typically. In our world now, you know, marriage is just on the rocks. And if you're married, or if you're single, one day you will be married, Lord willing, then this marriage is one of the hardest things that we can be involved in. And, you know, a lot of times the surface might look fine, right? Oh, yeah, we're married and we're Christian and we go to church and everything's fine. But underneath that exterior surface might be happening all sorts of issues and problems that nobody knows about but you and your spouse. And you're afraid to let anybody know or talk about it because it's hard and it's embarrassing and it's difficult. I like to say that often we live our married lives in silent and quiet desperation. I think that's true. If you're struggling in a relationship, particularly in a marriage relationship. And one other point about that is you might say, listen, we don't fight. But see, peace is more than just not fighting, right? Just because you don't fight doesn't necessarily mean you have peace in your relationship. Peace means that there's a special quality of tranquility and harmony in your relationship. That there's a special, you know, specialness to the relationship. And there should be in the marriage relationship. And there should be between parents and a child and brothers and sisters. But I really want to talk just for a second about marriage in particular. If you're in that situation, if you're struggling with that, I would like for you to pray and turn that over to God and say, Lord, I want you to please help me have peace in my marriage. Peace with my husband or peace with my wife. Sometimes that's not an easy thing to do, because it does, again, it doesn't happen automatically. It does a lot. Sometimes it does. God can work miraculously in any situation. But it's no less a miracle if it happens in one day, if it happens over a year. It's still God working. And so if you're struggling in your marriage, I'd like for you and your spouse to say, this is the year I want peace in our marriage. A lot of times that means owning up to your issues, asking for forgiveness. A lot of times it means giving forgiveness. A lot of times it means seeking counsel with somebody who is wise and can help you. And every time it means a lot of prayer. So if you're struggling with a particular relationship that's important and you need peace, and I'd like for you to commit 2012 to be the year that God brings peace into that relationship. So the New Year's resolution, peace in your life in 2012. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with others. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and enter the new year, Lord, celebrating you, celebrating Jesus, and worshiping you. Father, I pray, Lord, that for myself and for everyone here, that 2012 would be a year of peace, Lord. Father, if there's anyone here that does not have peace with you, that has not trusted in Jesus as their Savior for the forgiveness of their sins, that, Lord, that they would place their faith in Jesus as their Savior, that they would place their faith right now, Lord. That they would pray a simple prayer that says, Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life, Lord. Make me your child. Let me have peace with you, Lord, today, and the assurance of eternal life. So, Lord, if anyone is here that hasn't committed their life to you, that hasn't trusted in you, I pray, Lord, that they would do so and have peace with you, Lord. Lord, as your children, as believers, it is human nature and for us to struggle with anxiety, to struggle with worry. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, in whatever area we need to turn over to you, that this year would be the year that we turn that area over to you and have peace in our hearts, Lord. The peace of Christ would rule our hearts and minds. That peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And lastly, Lord, help us to have peace in our relationships. Father, whether it's a home relationship, a work relationship, or a neighborhood, or schools, that, Lord, that we would be people of peace, and we would have peace in our relationships. And Father, in particular, I want to address marriage and say, Lord, that for those who are married, that you would help us, Lord, to have peace in our homes. Help us to have mutual forgiveness. Help us to have the love of Christ rule our hearts and minds and homes, Lord. Father, thank you for the crossroad. And thank you, Lord, that we could come together and start this year out celebrating you and worshiping you. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen.